Today I want to look at yet another spiritual discipline. In keeping with our theme of follow me, Jesus is saying, follow me and I will teach you about discipline. And over the last few weeks, these are some of the disciplines that we have looked at. We've talked about what it means to wait on God. We've talked about the discipline of solitude and simplicity and submission. Last week, we talked about the discipline of digging into God's Word. And so today, we will add to that list of disciplines the discipline of fasting. And just keep in mind, they wouldn't be called disciplines if they weren't hard. And so the message today will be a challenge for each of us. You talk about going against our natural tendency. The discipline of fasting does just that, simply because we like to eat, don't we? In fact, some of you have already started thinking about what you're going to be eating after the long-winded sermon is finished. And you're hoping it's not so long, because you like to eat. We all do. We like to eat regularly. We like to eat good food, and we like to have plenty of food. The discipline of fasting is a reminder to the stomach that it is not in control of us. Rather, the spirit is in control, our inner spirit, and the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And I know, even as I was preparing this message, that there's a good chance that some, when they hear that the sermon is about the discipline of fasting, that you will be tempted to just turn me off, to not listen to what I have to say to you. Because really, for a lot of folks, the discipline of fasting is not on their radar at all. But I hope that wouldn't be true for you. I hope that you won't just turn me off, but rather that you will have ears to hear, because really what I am saying to you today is from God's Word. And so that means it's worth listening to. And maybe God would lead you in this discipline of fasting to give it a try, to give some attention to it, and to be blessed as you give that try with fasting. I want to ask several questions about the subject of fasting and try to answer them for you. First of all, what is fasting? One source I looked at defined it this way: fasting is the self-denial of normal necessities in order to intentionally attend to God in prayer. Another source said this: it is the discipline of abstaining from something good to concentrate on our walk with and satisfaction in God. Now, I think those are two pretty good definitions of fasting. If I could just break those definitions down for you. Fasting is a self-denial. And that in itself is hard. But it's good for us to deny ourselves. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him, what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so we understand from what Jesus says there, discipleship starts with self-denial. If you really want to be serious about following Jesus, and that's what our theme has been for all of 2022, Jesus is saying, follow me. If you want to be serious about following Jesus, it all starts with self-denial. And fasting is all about self-denial for the purpose of drawing near to God. What are we denying ourselves? Most of the time, fasting is denying ourselves food. But if we go back to the definition that we just looked at, it said that fasting is the self-denial of normal necessities, or it is the discipline of abstaining from something good. And so I want you to know, fasting can be more than just abstaining from food. A person could fast from social media or from their cell phone. For a lot of folks, this kind of fast could bring withdrawals in a hurry. Can you imagine a whole day without the use of your cell phone? I don't know how many times I'm reaching in my pocket to pull out my cell phone. See if somebody's texted me. See if I've got an email. See what the temperature is. How many times do we look at our cell phone in a day's time? If we decided to spend a whole day without our cell phone, I imagine we would soon discover how attached to it we are. I remember one person choosing to fast from Diet Coke for a season. And it was quite a challenge to her. She didn't realize how attached she was to Diet Coke until she intentionally gave it up for a season. It was an act of self-denial for the purpose of drawing nearer to God. Maybe a person would choose to abstain from TV for a season, to just leave the TV off, or the laptop, or the tablet. We're talking about an intentional decision made for the purpose of drawing near to God. And the point is, we give up something very special to us for a season so that we can give more attention to God. And that is why fasting is called a discipline. It is hard, but it's very rewarding. And really, it's between you and God. I can't tell you what your fasting should look like, what you should fast from, or how long you should fast. That's all between you and God. But I can tell you this. If you choose to make this sacrifice, there will be a blessing there for you as you intentionally draw nearer to God. Do you remember what James said? Draw near to God, and He, what? Will draw near to you. Here's a second question. Are there examples of people fasting in the Bible? And yes, there are. There are lots of such examples. And of course, Jesus would be at the top of the list. But there are so many more that would be on that list, and all you have to do is just thumb through the pages of Scripture, and you see these ones who are devoting themselves to a season of fasting. Moses would be on that list. Elijah would be on that list. David would be on that list. Daniel, Paul the Apostle, Esther, Nehemiah. I'm thinking, wow, that's quite a who's who list of people in Scripture who gave themselves to this discipline of fasting for a season. And I'm saying that's a list I wouldn't mind being associated with myself. Here's a third question. Does Jesus expect us to fast today? And I will be right up front with you and say that there is no command in the New Testament for God's people to fast. But there are two passages of Scripture that give strong indication that Jesus expected for His disciples to fast after His departure from this earth. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is cautioning his listeners about practicing their righteousness before men. He's saying, don't be like the Pharisees, who practice their righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And you see in verse 2, as he's in this context, he says, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you. And look at verse 3. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Verse 5, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by men. Are you noticing a pattern here? Jesus is saying, when you fast, or when you give, When you pray, look at verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who's in secret. Look at verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. Look at verse 16 now through verse 18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You notice the same terminology in this passage as what he has been having in those earlier verses. He says, whenever you fast, this is what you're not supposed to do. And when you do fast, this is what you are supposed to do. It sounds to me like fasting was something that he expected his disciples to do. Otherwise, why would he have given us instructions about it? He gave instructions to his listeners about giving. He gave instructions to his listeners about praying. We don't have any doubt that he expected his followers to do those things. Why would we not think that he would expect us to fast as well? Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Then the disciples of John came to him, asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Does that not sound like Jesus had an expectation that his disciples would fast after his departure from the earth? It certainly sounds that way to me. And yet fasting is something that so many Christians have never done even once in their life. Why is that? Maybe it's because they've never been challenged to fast. I mean, not too many preachers will give you this challenge. It's not a popular subject to talk about. Maybe we've never fasted because it is a discipline. And we've said disciplines are hard, and yet they are ways in which we can draw closer to Jesus. If from this challenge of God's word that you're receiving this morning, if you were to try to decide under the leading of the Holy Spirit that you want to give fasting a try and you've never done it before, start out by choosing to fast, I would say, for one meal. I'm not up here challenging you to fast for 40 days like Jesus did, and Moses and Elijah. But I would challenge you to fast for one meal. And remember, it's not just about skipping a meal. It's about self-denial for the purpose of drawing near to God. Take the time that you would normally take to eat your meal and use that time to be in the Word and to be drawing near to God in prayer. And maybe from that point, you would want to commit to a 24-hour period, say from supper to supper. I will tell you what I've experienced fasting. Fasting is not so much a battle here. It's more of a battle here in the head. Because we are a spoiled people. We're used to eating regularly, and to not eat is more of a battle in the mind than it is in the stomach. Now, that's not to say that you won't have hunger pains, but your mind, I can guarantee you, when it's time to eat, your mind will be telling you it's time to eat. Hey, it's time to eat. And you are denying yourself, and you are practicing self-control for the purpose of drawing near to Him. Now here's a fourth question, and we'll spend the rest of the sermon time answering this question. For what reasons would a person fast? And several reasons from Scripture. The first reason would simply be this: to worship God. I think this is a primary reason for fasting, to give honor and praise to Him, to draw near into His presence, to sacrifice to Him our love for eating. Did you hear that? It's really like we're making a sacrifice to Him. We are sacrificing to Him our love for eating, our attachment to our phone, or whatever it is that we are giving up. We are saying to Him, Lord, You are more important to me than anything else, and I just simply want to have a time where I am devoting my attention to You, and I want to worship You. I want to praise You. I want to lift Your name up above every other name. Did you know this? We are made to glorify Him. That is our purpose. That's your purpose, and that is my purpose. We are put here on this earth to worship Him in everything that we say and do, and to give Him glory in whatever we eat or drink, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. We are to give Him glory. And it only makes sense that if we were to choose to have a time of fasting, that we would spend a portion of that time, a good portion of that time, just in worship to Him. And here's another reason that a person would choose to fast: to put the flesh to death. To put the flesh to death. We all need to die to the flesh, but the flesh has such a strong hold over us, doesn't it? Isaiah chapter 58 is a chapter that has a lot to say about fasting. And verse 6 in that chapter says, "Is this not the fast which I choose?" This is God speaking through the prophet. He says, "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke?" You say, what in the world is that saying? Let me tell you, some of us have chains that are binding us. And we are struggling to loosen those chains. Fasting and praying is a way to loosen the chains that bind. We are putting the flesh to death when we initiate a fast. We are calling out to God to help us break the chains of sin that are in our life. Do you have a problem with pornography? Then turn to God in fasting and prayer and call for His Spirit to help you break those chains that are binding you. Do you remember when Jesus cast the demon out of the young boy and His disciples had tried and they could not? Jesus had been on the mountain of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. They came down from the mountain. The other disciples, as they came down from the mountain, they're gathered and there's a crowd around them, and particularly there is a father and his son who is demon-possessed, and they turn, they see Jesus, and they run to Jesus. And the father says, "Can you cast the demon out of my son? Your disciples have tried, but they couldn't do it." Well, Jesus does it. He casts the demon out. Commands that demon to come out of him, and immediately the demon comes out. And so later the disciples are asking, "Why couldn't we cast the demon out?" And Jesus' answer to them is quite interesting from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 21. It says, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Maybe there is a special extra boost of power when prayer is accompanied by fasting. I'm not saying that it's like a magic lamp that we rub and we get whatever then we ask for. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, from Scripture, there seems to be a chain-breaking power in prayer and fasting. And that's why I'm asking you, are you bound by anything that is not of God? Is there a sin that is just been hounding you and you can't get rid of it? You can't overcome it. It just seems impossible for you to overcome. If so, then spend some time in prayer and fasting, because as we go to Him in that kind of intense prayer, there seems to be a special connection with God that unloosens the chains of sin. Are you struggling to quit a bad habit? Maybe it's an alcohol addiction. Maybe you have a smoking habit that you just can't seem to kick. Maybe you have a temper that binds you. Maybe there is a grudge that you have been holding on to. You'd love to get rid of it. You have tried to get rid of it, but it just keeps coming back and hounding you. Sometimes it may seem like it's impossible to overcome. Let me assure you, it is not impossible to overcome, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What better way to enable the Spirit than to disable the flesh? More often than not, we tend to feed the flesh. Jesus calls for us to deny the flesh. Did you know that one of Sodom's problems was overeating? Have you gathered that into your mind from Scripture? There's a verse that's tucked away in the book of Ezekiel. Actually, two verses. And you know who I'm talking about, Sodom and Gomorrah. Way back in the book of early chapters of Genesis. And we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, their issue that God had problems with was that of homosexuality, and that is true. But did you know, not only did they have problems with homosexuality, they had problems with overeating. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50 from the New International Version says, "Now this was the sin of your Sodom, your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, they were overfed and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them as you have seen." Wow. Isn't that interesting? I wonder, have we cued in to that verse before? One of Sodom's sins was that she was overfed. I wonder if one sin that we give into can lead to other sins. I wonder if one door opened where sin is crouching can lead to another door open where sin is crouching. You may recognize that word crouching as the word from Genesis 4, where God warned Cain about the sin that was crouching at the door. I have a footnote in my Bible that says the Hebrew word for crouching is the same as an ancient Babylonian word referring to an evil demon crouching at the door of a building to threaten the people inside. We need to die to the flesh. And the reason I'm saying this, if we're not dying to the flesh and we open the door for the flesh in one area, it weakens us. And it's easier then to open a door in another area. And if we don't have control over the flesh, it's easier for us to open the door for the flesh to come in other areas of our life. I hope you're following my train of my thinking here, because I think it's really based on scriptural thinking. We need to die to the flesh. And one of the ways that we can do that is through fasting. Here's the third reason for which people will fast: to seek God's favor concerning a specific request. And oftentimes, I would say this is the reason most often associated with fasting. In our minds, we have a specific request that we want to bring before the Lord, and so we fast and pray. And this is a very scriptural thing. We see an example of this in Scripture with King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, he was fasting and praying for the life of his child. Maybe you have a request that you are seeking God's favor. Maybe you have someone that you know of who needs Jesus in their life. Why not take some time to fast and pray for that person? Or maybe you have a prodigal in your family who needs to come back home, who needs to come back to Jesus. Why not take some time to fast and pray for that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter to come back to Jesus? Maybe someone near you has an illness, and you just sense the Holy Spirit leading you to fast and pray for that person to have God's miraculous touch upon their body. Over the last few weeks, a number of people from my side of the family have developed some health concerns. And it all just kind of came to a head recently, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we received news that my nephew, Sean, his wife, Jen, was diagnosed with cancer for the second time. And it had just kind of been building to this. I mean, my brother's been having some health concerns. His wife, Terry, has been having some health concerns. My wife, Cindy, has had some health concerns. Our daughter, Rebecca, has had some health concerns. My brother-in-law, Stan, has had some health concerns. And we have a family text of my siblings. And we're talking back and forth about, you know, we're praying for Cindy and praying for Rebecca and praying for all of these people. And I think this came to me from the Lord. I said in a text recently, why don't we just choose a week? Why don't we choose a week where our whole family gives attention to fasting and praying for our loved ones? And boy, people began to jump on that idea, and we chose this last week. From Monday through Friday, we had, just within our family, a prayer and fasting chain. And there were 11 total from our side, from my side of the family, that jumped in on this. And there were several on Monday that were fasting and praying for our loved ones, and several on Tuesday, and then there was one on Wednesday, and one on Thursday, and one on Friday. And you talk about a blessing. You talk about a blessing of the family coming together for the purpose of praying for each other. And I'm not saying that to get any kind of attention, or do you think, oh, you know, wow. No, I'm just saying, I think when we have some issues that are going on in our life that are really worthy of our attention, if we will listen to the Holy Spirit, maybe He will be prompting us to discipline ourselves for the purpose of fasting and praying over a specific request. Do you have such a request that God would lead you to fast and pray over? I can't help but think that such prayers get His attention. Does it guarantee that He will answer according to our will? No. But remember, the basic purpose of prayer is not to bend God's will to our will, but rather to mold our will into His. And perhaps through that time of prayer and fasting, He will do that for you. He will mold you into His perfect will. And maybe, just maybe, He will have mercy on us and He will answer our prayer. Our prayer and fasting surely gets His attention. I'll give to you a fourth reason as to why a person might choose to fast: to seek God's direction. And two different scriptures that came to my mind that give support to this point. Acts chapter 13, they're getting ready to send missionaries out from the church. And so what does the church do? They're fasting and praying. They're seeking God's blessing on these missionaries and the efforts that they will be given. And then in chapter 14, they're getting ready to choose elders in the early church. And so what do? They fast and pray for a period of time because they're seeking God's direction as to who, Lord, do You want as an elder in the church? I remember fasting and praying as I was seeking God's direction for my life. Did He want me to be a preacher or not? It was between the freshman year and sophomore year of college, the summer. I'd finished my freshman year at Ozark Christian College. I knew what Ozark Christian College was all about. They're about training preachers. And I'm wrestling with this. I wasn't sure if this was what God wanted me to do. And I knew that really there wasn't much need for me to go back to Ozark a second year if I wasn't going to be a preacher. And so I have come through the whole summer, and I still don't know. I mean, school is just a couple of weeks away before it starts. And so I think by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I said, God, you've got to show me. You have got to show me what you want me to do. And I spent some time fasting and praying, and I said, Lord, this Sunday, this coming Sunday, you have got to show me what you want in my life. I'll never forget sitting out there listening to the sermon. And the preacher was preaching on why does God want more preachers? Okay, God, I got the message. And I never looked back. We got married in February of 1983. And prior to our decision together to make that commitment to one another in marriage, we spent some time fasting and praying. God, is she the right one for me? Is he the right one for me? And I'm glad we got the message. You have a decision that you need some direction on? Why not spend some time fasting and praying? Just lay that decision on the altar and hear from him. And here's another reason for fasting and praying. This is number 5 from Scripture. It is often connected with repentance and confession. I have in your bulletin several passages that give evidence to this point. I'm not going to read through all of those passages, but it would really be a good study for you. There in your bulletin, you should see a scripture from Nehemiah and Daniel and 1 Samuel and Joel and Jonah. All of these passages, interestingly, have to do with people who are fasting and praying, and you know what they're doing? They're confessing their sins to God, and particularly, they are confessing the sins of their nation. They're crying out to God in behalf of their nation. And my plea to you is that you would take your sins that seriously, and the sins of your nation that seriously. I'm wondering, do we hate sin that much? Are we bothered by sin that much that we would be moved to prayer and fasting? I know we're out of time here, so we're going to wrap this up. But I want to say to you, fasting is a discipline that Satan wants you to shrug off. Satan wants you to have already turned the preacher off. He's saying, this isn't for you. You know why? He doesn't want you to do this. And I think there's a reason why Satan doesn't want God's people fasting and praying. Satan knows there is a special power in prayer and fasting. He doesn't want the church praying and fasting. And that in itself should tell us something. So let me close with this statement. If the Spirit leads you to do it, Do it. And I think you will be blessed.